It's wonderful to be here today. So I'm actually presenting this on behalf of our partnership, and this evaluation was led by Dmitry Kajikov, who's a scientist at the Grand Corporation.
Oh, okay. I think you're getting a little reverb.
Oh, am I getting a little reverb? And these are the authors. Elizabeth Dixon, who's Director of Services at Queens Carroll Health Faith Partnership, myself, Andrea Jones, who's at Healthy African American Families, Peter Mendel, who's also a scientist at the RAND Corporation, Jim Gilmore, who's the Director of Development at Behavioral Health Services, the largest contract substance use provider in Los Angeles County, and Ken Wells, who's the PI of the grant. I have no conflicts of interest to report. And I just wanted to, this slide's really important because it really talks about the community effort that goes around to put together a very complicated project on trying to improve access for depression care in Los Angeles County. There are a lot of funders, there are a lot of institutional partners, as well as community partners that are at the table. And I can't go into all of them, but the lead partners are Healthy African American Families, which is a health advocacy organization in South Los Angeles, Queens Care Health and Faith Partnership in Hollywood, and Behavioral Health Services. So why do a participatory research project about depression? What is community partners in care? Why is examining group process important? And why did we what did we find? So background on depression. Depression is really important. It's common, and it's actually the largest cause of disability among adults. Why is that important? It really affects how people, I like to say, love, live, raise their families, how do they get a job, whether they complete their education. And it actually has about as much disability as people who have heart attacks or strokes, but it tends to affect people when they're in their prime working years, when they're really trying to get their lives together, as opposed to people over the age of 65. I mean, people over the age of 65 have their own concerns, but that's very important, I think, for neighborhoods and societies. From prior work led by Dr. Wells, we know that quality improvement programs for depression and primary care can improve clinical function and employment outcomes and reduce adverse life events for people over 2 to 5 years across, you know, minorities. And minorities actually tend to do better, African Americans and Latinos. These types of approaches called collaborative care models for depression are not implemented that much in primary care, although that's growing. And in underserved settings where there are no primary care clinics, we really don't know how to get evidence-based depression care out there that involves multiple stakeholders. What is Community Partners in Care? It's a NIMH-funded R01, uses a community-partnered participatory research process in all phases of research. Everybody knows what that means. We're partnering with all the agencies, all the institutional partners, all the community partners in every phase of the project from, you know, where do we do things, how do we do things, what do we study, what outcomes do we look at, how do we do it. And this is administered by a steering council of partners and researchers who oversee the project. It's a randomized controlled trial of this. The project itself is done using this partnered approach, but it's also a randomized controlled trial of CPPR as an approach to disseminate and implement evidence-based depression care in community-based agencies. I'll try to explain a little bit of what that means. This is a figure of the study as a whole that goes through the three different phases of the project. There was a planning phase, there's a randomized trial phase, and we hope that there'll be a community dissemination phase once this project is over. In the planning phase, as we came together as partners, we discussed the project, we did a lot of study planning, we had a policy advisory board, we had community dialogues, and this took place over 2 years, and we went through and talked about what the definition of communities were, we went through and talked about, you know, where we're going to go and recruit clients, what agencies we're going to go after, and there were a lot of changes that were made based on this. I actually gave a talk about this yesterday, so if you're interested in hearing about this process, what we actually did, I'm happy to talk to you about it or send you the slides. We're currently in the randomized trial phase where we are comparing two different approaches for caring for depression. One is a low-impact technical assistance approach that trains people on different components of collaborative care, which consists of screening for depression, patient education for depression, care management, which is essentially coordinating care for depression, and access to evidence-based psychotherapy such as cognitive behavioral therapy and psychotropic medication management. What's an unusual feature of this study is that in the community engagement and planning arm, which is the CPPR approach, we're having agencies come together, agencies that you don't normally think of as social service agencies. We have food banks, we have some faith-based representation, we have parks and recs, come together to really figure out how do we take these components of collaborative care and adapt them for particular networks of people and agencies that come together to address depression in a particular geographic area. The two geographic areas in this particular study are Hollywood and South Los Angeles. The point of this talk is really to talk about group process. This is an important feature of participatory research projects. Why do we do this? Because participatory research projects really try to emphasize equal participation, process, capacity building for everybody, and you want to try to make science relevant for all the stakeholders. And the process evaluations are generally external evaluations that really assess how well we've adhered to what, as a group, we've promised each other in terms of, adhering to these values and principles of the project. We used the self-assessment process here, used a mixed methods evaluation where we surveyed 38 members of the Community Partners in Care Steering Council. They filled out two waves of surveys online. There were 33 five-point agreement questions that assessed domains of leadership, participation, domination, conflict, and perceived group effectiveness. This was taken from Schultz at the University of Michigan, who's associated with Barbara Israel's survey instrument on group dynamics in CBPR projects. The purpose of this was to track the participatory and group process over time. This was actually used as a feedback tool. We fed this back to the steering council on two occasions all this information just to see how people were at and to take a temperature of how people felt this was going. And there were these discussion sessions were actually recorded and will be evaluated as well. And this was approved by the RAND IRB. The sample, there were two waves of the survey. Participating in the survey in the first wave, we had 28 steering council members. 22 participated in the survey. We had a 79% response rate. Six were community and 16 were academics. The mean time on the steering council was 14 months. The mean time for the community was 12 and a quarter months. And the mean time for academic participation was 14 and a half months. The dates of the evaluation was March through April of 2009. In wave two, we came back roughly about 8-9 months later. And we had 38 steering council members, 23 participated for about a 60% participation rate, five community and 18 academics. The mean time on the steering council was 20 months, 16 months for community and 20 months for the academics. Leadership and participation. In this, we asked people, are leadership roles appropriately shared between different academic and community members on the steering council? And what we found was that between wave one and wave two was that that in wave one of the survey, all the participants agreed that the leadership roles were appropriately shared between academic and community partners. In wave two, we found that this was a little less unanimous, although the vast majority of people felt that leadership roles were appropriately shared, there was more variation in the academic partners. There were three academic partners who either agreed or strongly disagreed that leadership roles were appropriately shared. One of the qualitative comments that came up out of this was that it would be good to get more community members on the work group calls and working on tasks because sometimes they are underrepresented. Some had suggested that more delegation to community partners who were not lead partners would help. The community partners felt that, the community partners felt that the steering council needed to be more assertive when it came to inviting people to participate in the decision making. see. The second, one other domain we looked at was trust. Compared to wave one, there was some improvement in the percentage of steering council members who report they trust each other. The 9-point percentage point increase can be explained by the decrease in the number of community academic partners who chose a neutral response category and an increase in the number of academics who chose a strongly agree response category. A group discussion of wave two results suggested that steering council members were still learning about each other. As one community member suggested, there is a difference between trusting individuals and trusting an established group process. A quotation from this was, "I think that, first of all, I don't know how well everybody knows each other in terms of having worked with each other to say I trust you. You don't know who might throw you under the bus individually, but I trust the group process, trust that this is a smart group that knows the rules of engagement for working with community and academics and will set some things in place. That's why I trust the process, the group process, not necessarily individuals, because I don't know you well enough." Group pressure. The question we asked was, "I often feel pressure to go along with decisions of the council." Most people reported that they did not feel pressure to go along with the council's decisions, roughly 3/4 in both waves. However, it appears that the total number of people who felt pressure to go along with the steering council agreed increased from two in wave one to 4 in wave two. Most of these were academics. A qualitative comment from an academic partner of wave one reveals a link between trust and group process. "I would say that sometimes the steering council makes decisions that surprise me a little, which primarily relate to maintaining the overall community engagement goal in the entire initiative as a foremost priority, even over matters of design, measures, and time frame. I've learned to trust that in the long run, this will lead to a more impactful project for the community." As one person, another person put it, "Sometimes I'll go along with the group thinks is right, but this is not always a bad thing. Overall, it appears that a level of trust in the wisdom and knowledge of the group and a feeling that decisions are being made in the best interest of the project." Disagreement, "I'm satisfied with the way the council deals with disagreements that come up. Overall, the steering council members were content with how the group handled disagreements. Roughly 3/4 report their satisfaction in both waves." One qualitative comment reported by a steering council member said that steering council members are developing a style of seeking advice and hearing some good solutions, often generous solutions concerning conflict that then others line up with, and that might come from a staff member, a community leader, an academic. All are contributing. Sense of ownership and commitment. "I feel a strong sense of ownership of what the council does." In wave one, only 37%, how much time do I have? Okay, 4 or 5 minutes, that's great. In wave one, only 37% of the steering council members said they felt a strong sense of ownership over what the council does. This includes agree and disagree, strongly agree answers. None of the community members chose either strongly agree or strongly disagree response category. 1/3 did not feel a strong sense of ownership. The model response was a neutral category. In wave two, 2/3 of steering council members reported a strong sense of ownership over what the council does. One person compared this project to a baby and was excited to see it grow up a little. Yeah, that was an interesting one. During the group discussion, as one academic partner mentioned that although steering council members felt that there was a need for more leadership involvement, the fact was that there was a significant increase in the number of people who felt that they had a sense of ownership over what the council does. The quotation was, "Even though you're not formally taking part in making decisions, you still feel the ownership. That's the beauty of collaboration. When you collaborate, at least in my understanding, you don't have to make all decisions yourself. You trust that if you're not part of the decision-making, you will still be okay with the decisions made by others. When a decision is being made and you're not at the table, you should be confident that your position has been accounted for." Let's see. Commitment to council actions. "I am committed to the course of action decided by the council." Although only slightly more than 1/3 of steering council members felt a strong sense of ownership in wave one, 91% indicated that their commitment to the course of action decided by the council. None had a negative opinion about it, and only 2 academic partners chose a neutral answer. In wave two, all participants either agreed or strongly disagreed that they were committed to the course of action decided by the council. A high level of commitment can be explained by the desire of steering council members to have a positive and long-lasting impact on their community. As one person put it, "I want CPIC to impact people's lives." perceived group defectiveness. I do not think, and this is negatively posed, I do not think the council is achieving its goals effectively. Steering council members' assessment of the group effectiveness and achieving goals showed notable improvement between the two survey time points. While wave one of the survey took place during the project visioning phase, wave two took place during the pilot phase, which is a likely reason why steering council members were generally more confident in the effectiveness of the council. More specifically, in wave two, none of the steering council members thought that the council was not achieving its goals effectively. This is a significant improvement compared to wave one. Comments during wave one revealed that one person was not aware of the steering council's goals. Another person felt that the steering council was doing okay, but it was behind schedule in terms of implementing the intervention. Quote, I realize that this project will take the time it needs for engagement in the community, inclusiveness of individuals and decisions. That kind of group project takes longer and is harder to manage than a top-down project, which is then not community-owned. The shift in perceptions about the council's effectiveness is evident as well in the comments made by the steering council members in wave two. One person continued the discussion of time and emphasized that, quote, the study is now fully owned by the council, and while we are running about a year late in the original schedule, everything is coming into place that can come into place given the economy and where the agenda's needs are in the community. Another expressed confidence in the dedication of the steering council members in attaining the project's goals with the comment that, quote, more people wish that they could dedicate additional time to the study, but their schedules do not permit. I believe the study will reach its goals because of the caring hearts on the Council for People with Depression. Some additional comments that were given to the steering council members, and this was comments that were provided actually during the wave two, and this I think gets to the heart of how much people really care about the project, both the academic and community participants. You guys are awesome, can't wait to see the results of the survey. I appreciate the sensitivity of the PI to both the academic and community perspectives. Staff members especially enabled the process to move smoothly by her administrative support, and I think that's one of the project managers. Some questions need to be carefully read to understand that a positive reply indicates a negative response or answer. The project steering council seems to be skewed toward black and white to the exclusion of brown. Summary, the greatest improvement was in stakeholder engagement, a 0.25% increase, 23% increase in steering council was effective in engaging agencies and community stakeholders. Steering council members felt that the council was progressing towards goal, but wave two showed a small proportion of steering council members who thought that leadership was appropriately shared among community and academic partners. Some strong limitations to this. A lot of this was self-report. We had an extremely small sample size, and there was exceedingly low participation rates of community partners. Thank you very much.
Was there any pushback from the community partners that didn't answer the survey, or did they kind of claim the survey results and open, or how was that?
That's a good question. Our project is unusual in that we have a, well, actually it's not unusual. I think this is usual in community partner projects where we have this notion people can get on and off the bus at any point in time. And all of this was anonymous, so it wasn't clear whether, you know, the people who had made those comments were there or not there during the meetings. There wasn't a lot of pushback. I mean, I think, and I almost wish that we had the ability. You know, it's interesting as we study the group process. You know, you have all these sort of very, and I think this is true of any team development. We're actually doing quite an amazing job. To date, we've we have about 350 providers. We have 103 agencies. The study randomizes agencies, not individuals, to different depression care. We have, I think, currently approached 3,000 people in Screedom for depression using the PHQ-9, and we've had about a 95% people. 95% of the people we approach agreed to enroll to actually take the survey, and then I think 93% of the ones who screened positive, and we had about a 33% depression probable depression positive rate come into the study. So, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, I think people use this as an opportunity to kind of vent, and there's certainly a lot of important process issues that come along. People don't necessarily bring these up during the steering council meetings. They do sometimes. And there is, and people don't, I think sometimes people feel it's a comfortable place to really talk about these things. Sometimes people don't. And that's why we have this external evaluation process. You know, one of the things we really wish that, I think I can't speak because I actually didn't do this. I'm doing this on behalf of people who actually did the external evaluation. I think that they are really trying to figure out how to get more community to talk about the survey. But there hasn't been a lot of pushback. Yeah.
I want to encourage comments as well. I know there's a lot of good practitioners in the audience. Yes, please.
Oh, I was just wondering, was depression the issue identified by the community that as what they wanted?
Yeah, this you know, in these. So this is a 10-minute talk, so it's hard to go. No, it's great. These are wonderful questions. I'd love to talk about the project. This actually builds on about, I think, in our partnership with Healthy African American Families is about 7 years. And I think Dr. Wells' partnerships around Los Angeles is probably over a decade or more. Depression is one of many issues that Healthy African American Families in SPOS 6 views to be an important priority. And there was about 5 years of pilot work where this was selected as one of the priorities that were important to study. Especially around lack of access to evidence-based depression care. We had many years of discussion where we talked about, you know, what is depression? Does depression even exist? How do you talk about depression when you have lots of social stressors? You know, how does the DSM-4 definition fit with people's perceived sense of depression as something caused by social stressors like racism, you know, problems with the built environment, you know, economic depravity, poverty? I mean, these, yeah, and so this is one very small window and a set of data from a partnership that's gone on for 7 years. And I just didn't have time to talk about it. So, and yeah, the grant was written, the original R1 was written in partnership, and that's how, and this was selected as it. Plus?
I was going to ask a question. I'm from Los Angeles also. I was asking Angela, didn't this CPIC start from Building Wellness Project?
It started from all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Building Wellness dealt with depression.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
The question was, we chose depression because so many African American, we wouldn't use that word. We wouldn't say that we were depressed. And they want to know why African American wouldn't identify that word or say it was crazy or that, you know, so it's hard for them, hard for us.
Out of it, and so we doctors, psychiatrists. There's a lot of community people in the building of the state, there's a lot of community. And I wasn't part of the CPIC. I started to be with that, but I didn't go on to that.
Yeah, so PLUS is referring to the pilot project that took part before this, which was even more of a traditional CBPR project. It was called Witness for Wellness. And yeah, and everything was up for grabs in that project. The only thing that was agreed upon was that depression is important in some way, shape, or form. And this was in South Los Angeles for the African American community. But other than that, we really negotiated on everything.
Okay.